Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from a study of Ezekiel. We're in part four, Judgments on Judah's Neighbors, and we've started with Egypt now, one of Israel's main neighbors and one of the main forces of Ezekiel's time, Egypt. In chapter 30, verses 1 to 8, we start hearing about a talk of the day of the Lord. Is that an end-time prophecy? Let's examine it. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy, and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, alas for the day is near. The day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. A sword shall come upon Egypt, and anguish shall be in Cush, when the slain fall in Egypt, and her wealth is carried away, and her foundations are torn down. Cush and Put and Lud, and all Arabia and Libya, and the people of the land that is in league, shall fall with them by the sword. Thus says the Lord, those who support Egypt shall fall, and her proud might shall come down. From Migdol to Syene they shall fall within her by the sword, declares the Lord God. And they shall be desolated in the midst of desolated countries, and their cities shall be in the midst of cities that are laid waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have set fire to Egypt, and all her helpers are broken. Well, possibly in part, this message may have some end-time significance, but more likely, the day of the Lord here is Egypt's day, the day of the Lord in Egypt. The emphasis is on that land throughout the chapter. Other nations are mentioned in connection with her downfall, but those nations were also victims of Nebuchadnezzar, as Egypt is to be. Ezekiel expands on the Egypt theme in the next two chapters after this one, making his point. As for end-time prophecy, well, it's coming, believe me, later in the book, and we'll cover it in part five of this series. With the nations addressed here, besides Egypt, Cush, Ethiopia of Africa, that's what Cush is. Put is Libya of Africa. Lud is Lydia, a kingdom in Western Asia Minor, but also a people descended from Mizraim / Egypt, and thus African. Arabia, Chub, these are names seemingly unknown elsewhere, Chub is, that is. Libya in the ESV, all the mingled people. In the KJV, foreigners who came to assist the Egyptians in their... let me back up here. Libya is the word that's used in the ESV. In the KJV, it's not Libya. It says all the mingled people. So to distinguish it from Lud up above that we said was Lydia. These are foreigners who came to assist the Egyptians in their trials, or simply foreign-born citizens, all the mingled people. And then it says people in league. This seems to refer to Jews who had fled to Egypt for support, as in the last chapter. Of course, their support is short-lived. Bottom line, a fire is to burn in Egypt and the surrounding nations, and no one will be spared. Question then is, what will happen to those who try to escape the coming horror? Chapter 30, verse 9. On that day, messengers shall go out from me, from the Lord, in ships to terrify the unsuspecting people of Cush, and anguish shall come upon them on the day of Egypt's doom, for behold, it comes. So terrified people terrify others. As the Egyptians see what is coming, God stirs them up to get on a ship and travel south to the shocked people of Ethiopia, who will soon share in Egypt's judgment. There's no running away once God has decided. Question 40 gets us into chapter 30, verses 10 and 11. How extensive will be the devastation of the Egyptian kingdom? We've covered it in one way already. Thus says the Lord God, I will put an end to the wealth of Egypt by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the most ruthless of nations, shall be brought in to destroy the land. They shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the multitude with the slain. The economy will be ruined, says the ESV. More likely, the multitude of people, as in other translations. This fits better with the rest of the passage, where Nebuchadnezzar is seen applying his sword to the masses, dead bodies everywhere. Notice God's description of the king of Babylon. We see Daniel working with this proud emperor, remember, in the Bible's next book, Book of Daniel. Ruthless and all-powerful he was, and yet God used such a man to fulfill his work in Israel and the world of that day. Kings are in the Lord's hands. We must not despise what God allows for his purposes, even to our own nation. Verse 12, and I will dry up the Nile. I will sell the land into the hand of evildoers. I will bring desolation upon the land and everything in it by the hand of foreigners. I am the Lord. I have spoken. So to prepare the way of Babylon, the Lord will send a drought to the land, dry up the canals that feed the Nile, and thus work with Nebuchadnezzar to effect his judgment. Verse 13a, chapter 30. Thus says the Lord God, I will destroy the idols and put an end to the images in Memphis. Memphis was not far from modern Cairo, a center of idolatry. This would end as God's wrath was poured out. The Persian Cambyses would literally smash idols throughout the land when his turn came to reign. Chapter 30, verse 13, part B. There shall no longer be a prince from the land of Egypt, so I will put fear in the land of Egypt. We discussed earlier how Egypt became a subordinate state after the beginning of its downgrade. Egypt would have rulers, but not from the land. Its rulers would be the princes of other nations. Egypt would henceforth be afraid to rise up against the nations around it for fear of another bloodbath. Even its skirmishes with smaller Israel in our own day, though allied to many other Mideastern nations, were failures. Chapter 30, verses 14 to 19, the judgment on other cities. I will make Pathros a desolation. I will set fire to Zoan. I will execute judgments on Thebes, and I will pour out my wrath on Pelusium, the stronghold of Egypt, and cut off the multitude of Thebes. And I will set fire to Egypt. Pelusium shall be in great agony. Thebes shall be breached. Memphis shall face enemies by day. The young men of On and of Beseth shall fall by the sword, and the women shall go into captivity. At Tehapanes the day shall be dark, and when I break there the yoke bars of Egypt, and her proud might shall come to an end in her. She shall be covered by a cloud, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Thus I will execute judgments on Egypt. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Pathros was mentioned in chapter 29, verse 14. That's Upper Egypt. That means upper by elevation, not by looking at a map where it is really lower or Southland. Let me read from Jameson Fawcett Brown's commentary. The Thebaid, or Upper Egypt, which had been especially harassed by Nebuchadnezzar, is what's being talked about here. The oldest part of Egypt, as to civilization and art. The Thebaid was anciently called Egypt by Aristotle. Therefore, it is called the land of the Egyptian birth. Moving on to Zoan, that was a major city, Tanis, on the opposite end of Egypt, in the Delta region. Again, a north-to-south devastation is in view, from the Southland all the way to the Delta. Thebes, or No, N-O, says Ellicott, No, which is mentioned again in the next verse, more fully written, No Aman. That's the celebrated Thebes of Upper Egypt, still famous for its ruins at Luxor and Karnak. The mention of these various cities is to make emphatic the universality of the judgment upon the whole land. Pelusium, the Cambridge Bible, and most other commentaries identify this as the ancient Sin, S-I-N, Shin, Sin, called here the bulwark of Egypt, usually identified with Pelusium, which, lying on the northeast frontier of the country, might be considered the key to it. Sin, S-I-N, gave its name to the Sinai Peninsula. It's a whole idolatry thing, this name. And then on, Aven, I'm quoting from Ellicott, is the same as on of Genesis 41:45 and Genesis 41:50, and same as Beth Shemesh, the house of the sun, in Jeremiah 43:13, the Heliopolis of the Greeks, so called because from the remotest times, it was a chief seat of the worship of the sun, Heliopolis, the city of the sun. P. Beseth is called Bubastos, the city situated on the Suez Canal, begun by Necho, Pharaoh Necho, and finished under Ptolemy II. It derived its names from the cat-headed goddess Past, and was the chief seat of the home, which was named after it. That's from the pulpit commentary. Tehapnehes, Ellicott says about this town, otherwise called Tapanes, the city Daphne, also a frontier town near Pelusium, strongly fortified. It may be especially mentioned because the Jews who fled from Palestine through fear of Nebuchadnezzar had taken refuge there. You can read about that in Jeremiah 43 and 44. Nebuchadnezzar's plundering would be the first fulfillment of God's promises in these places, but not the last. Some would suffer at the hands of the Persians also. But history and prophecy match perfectly here. Idols destroyed, no Egyptian-born ruler, desolations, slaughter, fire, agony, captivity, all that they might know who is Lord in Egypt and all over the world, not just in Egypt. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Let's do one more section here in question 41. How does God characterize and summarize the coming judgment? Let's look at verses 20 to 26 to wrap up this section, actually to wrap up the chapter. In the 11th year, on the 7th day of the first month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. See, it has not been bound up for healing or splinted for strength to hold the sword. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I will break his arms, both the strong one and the one already broken, and I will make the sword fall from his hand. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations and scatter them throughout the lands. I will strengthen the arms of Babylon's king and place my sword in his hand, but I will break the arms of Pharaoh, who will groan before him like a mortally wounded man. I will strengthen the arms of Babylon's king, but Pharaoh's arms will fall limp. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I place my sword in the hand of Babylon's king, and he wields it against the land of Egypt. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations, scatter them throughout the lands. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Pharaoh is a man with two broken arms, utterly incapable of aggression or even self-defense, a defeated foe, finished. His enemy from Babylon, on the other hand, will have his arms strengthened by God himself, to do the task at hand. Now, there's no new material in this prophecy. It was given many weeks after the word of the last chapters. It seems to be a reminder and a summary. 2 months later, a third message comes. That's the subject of chapter 31. And it's talking about Pharaoh's demise. It's not just Egypt's demise, but Pharaoh himself is going down. Well, after that, and I'm looking ahead here myself to see where we're going. Got a lot of stuff about Egypt yet, a couple, three more days. When we get finished with Egypt, we go to a subject that's a little bit of a mystery again. A lot of a mystery for some. Talking about the land of Magog and the ruler of Magog, one named Gog. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Welcome to my house, the Hackberry House. We have the works here of several great men of God, their stories and their words. We have North Korea audios, North Korea photo updates. Just click on photos and then click on an album. We have a study of the Quran. We have study of Muhammad, study of end time prophecies. We go through the Bible, whole Bible with questions and answers a couple times. We have commentaries. We have 61 books. I'm going to call them books. Some of them are just Bible study guides. Some of them booklets. There's 61 titles available. Just click on store. Look at the blog every day. There'll be something really from one of my books. These days I'm doing it. And then Zoom. Men, send me an email of your with your testimony. I'll send you an invitation and a link to come to our men's meeting on Saturdays at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Facebook friends I'm always looking for who love the Lord and want to talk about him on Facebook. Just look me up. When you get to Facebook, my name is Bob Faulkner, F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R. I live in Niles, Illinois, and just send me a friend request. I'll probably get right back to you on that. Thank you so much for being here today. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, I'll talk with you very, very soon. Bye-bye.